Well, it's about that time. And I wonder if I can get my engineer to...
Stop this echo. Sounds like it's working. Thank you, Don Newsom. Welcome to the TNT News Hour on BBSRadio.com, where we talk about the news that they just want to tackle on what we call the mainstream media. You will not find any talking heads on this news broadcast.
As I'm sure you don't, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday of every week at this same time on BBSRadio.com. I'm the host, Don Nikoloff, and this is my contribution to the real media, the truth about what's really going on in the world and what we can do about spreading it further, sort of like a good jam on a piece of toast. Would you keep it for yourself, or would you share it with your friends? That's what we're doing here. With that, we have a different format for the show. Normally, I talk about all kinds of things, and on today's broadcast, I have invited a couple of guests that have some really interesting firsthand information that they want to share with our audience. And before I bring them on, I want to do a short public service announcement and recommend that you listen to tonight's Evident Footprints broadcast. That's my own show here on BBS Radio. It airs at 10 p.m. Pacific time. That's 1 a.m. on the East Coast, and you folks in between know how you have to adjust your hour to be able to hear the broadcast live on BBSRadio.com. I have Dr. Kasem Khalil, who is going to be my one-hour guest. He's penned over 20 books, and his most recent piece of work is called Wrongly Blamed, and he's going to lay out for you the actual scenario of what happened on 9/11, who was behind it, and what we can do about it. You don't want to miss tonight's show. It's going to be more of the same truth that you're going to hear today, although we are not necessarily going to be talking about 9/11. However, we are going to be talking about one of the presidential candidates in the current U.S. presidential campaign, and there is quite a bit of information coming out about this individual and who he really is and what his agendas are, and We are fortunate to have two people who know quite a bit about him who are going to share a lot of this information on this show. And we won't be able to cover everything because it's a huge topic and there's lots of evidence to support their claims. And so we will have them on future shows, possibly even on Evident Footprints in the coming weeks. So with that, I would like to welcome to TNT News Hour, and this is a first, that you are actually my first guest on this show. I want to welcome very warmly Earl and Patty Hopper. How are you folks doing today?
We're doing very well, Don. I'm glad to be with you.
Okay, I'm not hearing Earl and Patty Hopper.
Well, I'm doing fine, Don.
Can you hear us now, Don? Don, can you hear us? Don, can you hear us?
Okay, now I'm hearing them. Now you've got the music, if you can cut back on. Okay, are we back on the air or still on the air?
Well, we're here. Are you there?
Okay, I can hear you now.
Maybe we can just blame it on the cyberspace gremlins.
Yes, that's been happening a lot lately. This happens when you start broadcasting the truth. So I want to welcome both of you. I've not
Thank
heard
you very
Earl's
much.
Voice yet, so let's give Earl a chance to talk for a moment. How are you, Earl?
I'm doing fine, thanks. And you?
Very good, thank you.
Good, thank you for having us on your show.
It's a pleasure. Now, Earl, just so the audience knows, we don't want to divulge medical secrets here, but you did pay a visit to the dentist today, and I understand that you're in a little bit of discomfort.
Well, not bad. I had a tooth pulled.
Oh, that's fun.
I had a wrestling match, and he won.
He won.
No, I'm doing okay.
And so you had to pay him in the end, is what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's everybody's got to earn a living, right?
Well, everyone does.
Okay. I came to know and hear of you through a well-known researcher, Mr. Ken Adachi. And so we have Ken to thank for bringing us together. Ken informed me about your involvement in this movement to expose the truth about presidential candidate John McCain, who right now is a U.S. Senator from the state of Arizona. Either one of you like to begin telling us how you came about being interested in bringing this information forward?
Sure. John McCain is a returned prisoner of war. Everybody knows that. We've known him since he came home during Operation Homecoming and have seen him in action. You know, there's a lot of very fine people who were captured and came home during Operation Homecoming,
mm-hmm.
who suffered a great deal of torture, very difficult circumstances, to quote Jeremiah Denton, and they upheld the military code of honor and code of conduct. Some of the POWs weren't as strong and gave aid and comfort, collaborated with the North Vietnamese. And some did it very, very willingly. Some did it because they didn't know what else to do. In the end, things that we know about John Sidney McCain is he is one of the ones who did not hold up very well at all. And he actually volunteered to give classified information to the North Vietnamese in exchange for medical treatment.
Yes, now that's a pretty serious breach of the military code, as I understand it. You're just supposed to give
not only the code of conduct, which all military men were sworn to uphold,
mm-hmm.
it was also a violation of the United States laws on giving intelligence to the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
He violated every principle he possibly could, including the fact that he was a commissioned officer, and he gave in.
Mm-hmm.
Let me explain how that came about, because it actually sets the stage for our entire discussion now and anytime.
Mm-hmm.
The code of conduct basically says that you are only to give your name, rank, and service number, nothing more. And that came about at the end of the Korean War because of active collaboration of POWs during the Korean War with the North Koreans and Chinese. And in Vietnam, the POWs found ways around it. They would give fictitious information. They would be tortured to a point where they had to give something. So they started giving garbage information. One of them, when asked about names of shipmates, gave the name Clark Kent and another superhero name. I can't think of the other name off the top of my head.
Alfred E. Newman?
No, not Alfred E. Newman, but something like Clark Kent. It was one of the Cape Crusaders.
Mm-hmm.
And the joke was, a few years later, the North Vietnamese learned who those people really were, and then that POW was tortured even more.
Yes, well,
you know, but the point is, this is the important thing. they found ways around giving real information. When John bailed out of his aircraft, he broke both arms and seriously damaged one knee. On the third or fourth day after capture, one of the guards came in and pulled a blanket that they had over his legs away, and he saw this knee that was extremely swollen, about the size of a football, black, really looked ugly. The reality is the femur is the only bone in your body that you can damage and or break and die from and have no visual sign of what caused your death, because you bled out.
Mm-hmm.
John had, when he went through flight training, another pilot had ejected, had the same kind of a damaged knee and died from it. So the guard pulls back the blanket. John takes one look at his knee and says, go get an officer. A few minutes later, the guard comes back with one of the officers, and McCain says, and this is documented in an article that McCain wrote for the 14 May 1973 issue of U.S. News and World Report.
Yes, I'd read that too.
And the important thing is that this article is written by John McCain. It's not a reporter misinterpreting what McCain is saying.
Mm-hmm.
So when McCain, in the article, quotes himself and formally quotes himself with quotation marks, that is him absolutely telling everyone who reads the article exactly what he told the North Vietnamese. And the article says, and John McCain said, the officer came in, I said, quote, okay, take me to the hospital and I will give you military information. Close quote. He was not tortured for that information. He willingly, absolutely volunteered it. That is an absolute serious violation of the code of conduct. And that is a court-martial offense.
Now, it was no coincidence, Patty and Earl, that McCain's father was also an admiral in the U.S. Navy. And here they had the son of an important military figure, and they assumed that they could extract a lot of information from him.
Certainly.
Isn't that correct?
Yes. And McCain said in this article, and he has said to other people at various points in time, that the guard and the officer left a little bit later. The officer came racing back into his cell and said, quote, you're the son of a big admiral. Now we take you to the hospital. That's the second part of this whole torture, non-torture, volunteering, not volunteering information discussion. Number one, McCain asked for an officer. McCain volunteered to give military information in exchange for medical treatment. When the officer confirmed that, yes, he was the son of an admiral, they treated him with kid gloves. They were not going to torture and damage the golden calf, so to speak. They
yes.
wanted to be able to use McCain as a showpiece, and
yes.
they did.
Now, it's come to my attention through researching all the wealth of information that is out there, thanks to folks like yourselves, that McCain also did some 38 Radio Hanoi broadcasts, basically betraying his country, and these broadcasts were heard by the prisoners that were in what became to be known as the Hanoi Hilton. And that when McCain was confronted about his whereabouts, his excuse was that he was in solitary confinement. Yet there is intelligence information that has surfaced that says that he had been filmed leaving a limousine in the company of a North Vietnamese general, and that he had been given either an apartment or a hotel room with two prostitutes. So that was the type of solitary confinement he was in. Any comment about that?
I've heard that, too, from different directions, from three or four totally unrelated directions. We know that he made somewhere between 30 and 38 broadcasts. I'm thinking it's closer to 38.
Okay.
It was heard throughout, North Vietnam, South Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia. It was broadcast throughout their radio network to all their troops and to American forces. And, in fact, the handful of POWs that were captured late in the war at Loc Ninh, they were special forces troops. They were taken across the border and held by the Vietnamese, North Vietnamese in Cambodia.
Mm-hmm.
They heard John McCain on the radio making broadcasts.
I see. So there are plenty of people who could come forward even today who would still be alive that would be willing to testify to that fact.
Absolutely. In fact, one of the returned POWs, one that I'm talking about in specifically, is Major Mark Smith, Special Forces Major Mark Smith, and he was a returned POW. He was part of that group held in Cambodia. He was brought out during Operation Homecoming, as were all of them in that group. And in the early 90s, when the Senate Select Committee was holding hearings, and John McCain was on that committee, Mark Smith was back in Washington attending the hearings and was in a discussion with John McCain, and we have this from Mark Smith. McCain was talking about Bobby Garwood and absolutely degrading Bobby Garwood beyond words. And Mark looked at John and said, "You know what? I never once heard Bobby Garwood make any kind of propaganda broadcast. But I sure heard a lot that you made."
38.
And McCain got red in the face and turned around and left.
Wow.
So,
well,
and Mark Smith is a good friend of ours.
I see.
Don, well, let me bring in something here. You know, when you're a POW or missing in action, you're considered to be alive and on active duty. Except you're on active duty in the POW camp instead of here in the States. You still get your pay. Your wife is still your wife and not a widow. And the everything is considered they're on active duty just as if they were in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, they get their regular promotions. When
yes.
the promotion time comes up, their year comes up, they get a promotion, including those in POW camp. Now, my son, for example, was carried as MIA. He was shot down as a first lieutenant. He, when they finally declared him dead, he was ranked as a lieutenant colonel. Now, John McCain, when he was shot down, was a... Lieutenant Commander in the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
5.5 years later, when he returned, he was still a Lieutenant Commander.
And
which tells me that the Department of Defense and the Navy knew what he was doing while he was a POW. And therefore, they were not promoting him.
And this is backed up by that U.S. News and World Report article that we were quoting from, because it is written by John S. McCain III, Lieutenant Commander, U.S. Navy.
Yeah.
So that supports in print that in May 1973 he still had not been promoted.
Mm-hmm.
He should, because of the normal rotation, he should have been promoted once, maybe twice, as a POW, depending on where he fell in the rotation process.
Yes,
at least once.
I would like to interject something here, folks. The fact that this has been reported, in fact, he himself said in this U.S. News and World Report article that he had turned down opportunities to be released because of who his father was, and he used the excuse that he was not going to abandon his men, and that anyone who had been held prior to his capture should have been released before him. But I suspect that he probably was doing some side business, as we know they conduct during these wars, one being the drug business. Now, I don't have personal proof of that, but I would suspect that there was probably some of that going on, because there was a lot of money being made by the drugs that were being imported into the United States. Particularly during that time, Thailand played a big role in being a provider of drugs. And
now let me interject something here, too. The word had gone out from the senior ranking officers to all the POWs in the greater Hanoi prison complex, which was several prison camps that made up that classification in North Vietnam. And the word was, no one goes home unless we all go home, because the Vietnamese were trying to pit POWs against each other and had offered most all of them the opportunity for an early release. It wasn't just offered to John, it was offered to virtually all of them. All but maybe, I don't want to quote a number, but a handful that were really hardcore resistors. Jeremiah Denton, Bud Day, Stockdale, Laird Gutterson, a number of others that gave the North Vietnamese royal fits. But the run-of-the-mill POWs, they offered it to pretty much all of them at one time or another. So when John said, well, they offered it to me and I didn't go home, number one, he was not singled out for that. It was not unusual. And number two, he would have been violating a direct order from the senior ranking officers.
Yes. Okay,
so,
folks.
You know, he weasels around a lot of things.
Okay, we're going to pick this up in a moment. We have to take a short break here, Patty, for you.
Okay.
So we will come back in a moment.
Okay.
Please stay tuned. You're listening to the TNT News Hour on BBSRadio.com with our special guests, Earl and Patty Hopper. And this is Don Nikoloff. I'll be right back. Don't go away.
Blending the practical and the mystical, the Emmy Louie Show, with host and one of the feng shui architecture's leading experts, Emmy Louie is an honest, fun, and entertaining look at exciting fields of feng shui, architecture, and even politics. Each week, Emmy and her expert...
...of monthly issues, the Idaho Observer prints what you need to know to be a fully informed American. Go to Idaho-Observer.com or call 208-255-2307.
For over 18 years, Lometco International has been a supplier of nutritional supplements and skincare products of the highest quality. Lometco's first line of defense kit is our most popular combination of safe, natural supplements created and designed to assist you in maintaining a healthy immune system. We also offer a unique, all-natural skin exfoliation product which helps remove brown spots and wrinkles. Are you suffering from joint or muscle pains? We also offer a line of products to help bring you natural relief. Listener to the Evidence Footprint Show will receive a 10% discount and free shipping when you call Lometco International at 1-800-933-2565 from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Call now, 1-800-933-2565. And those are some sponsors of my Evident Footprints show. And we are hooking up Patty here with a special connection. Patty is en route to Never Never Land, sounds like.
I'm walking to the car right now, so we're going to be away from the wind noise in about
5 seconds or less.
Okay, you're breaking up just a little bit, Patty. Until we get a better signal, I'm going to keep talking to Earl here.
Although we may have a better one now. I'm now inside the car, so the wind is not a factor.
Yes, it got a little bit better there. Okay.
Don, let me add something here while we're talking about McCain and the other POWs.
Sure, go ahead.
When the POWs returned, you know, everyone considered them all as heroes. Prison for so long under a very... savage, if you want to call it that, regime. When the POWs came home, or several of the senior POWs, that tried to prefer court-martial charges against McCain and about 4 or 5 other POWs. I don't remember who they were now. And they wanted to marshal them for their activities while they were in the POW camp.
Mm-hmm.
But Secretary of the Air Force, Army, and Navy said, no, we're not going to court-martial those men. They are considered heroes. We're not going to tarnish that image of them. So that court-martial was denied. If it had gone through, I don't know what would have happened then. They would have had answers to why they acted as they did and explain their conduct while they were POW, because they violated not only the code of conduct, but the laws of the United States.
WCMJ.
You what?
Okay, say again, Patty.
They violated the UNCMJ, the Military Code of Conduct.
Okay, yes, the Military Code of Conduct, you said.
Well, the UC, now I'm scooping up the letters, but it's the Military Justice System. UCMJ.
UCMJ, okay. Yeah, you're breaking up just a little bit there, Patty.
Okay, I'm not sure what I can do to make it better.
Okay, right now that's clear.
Okay.
So, don't change anything.
Well, hopefully it'll stay clear.
Okay. Well, that's a very interesting point that Earl brought up, and We should take this in the context of some other information. Now, McCain himself was born in Coco Solo, Panama. He wasn't born in the United States, and the U.S. Constitution explicitly states that you cannot become president of the United States if you were not born in the country. What are your feelings about that, Earl?
That is something we have been told. We were unaware of this until recently. But we have received information that what you say is correct. You have to be born within the continental limits of the United States. If you're born outside, you're not eligible to become president.
And it doesn't matter that your father was on a military base or what have you. That wasn't sovereign U.S. territory.
Apparently not. Apparently, from the information that we have received, that has nothing to do with you. You could be born in Puerto Rico,
mm-hmm.
and, which was one of our possessions at that time, and you would not be qualified. So I don't know how that stacks up. We've just recently heard about that, and we haven't looked into it in detail. But
yeah.
I think someone should, before the election, someone should look into that and find out the legality of whether he is really eligible.
Well, I would say from the standpoint of what the Constitution says and the fact that that is the basis for the law, that should stand. Now, they may not like that law, But then this opens up a whole new can of worms, because we've had presidents who are not from this country. And I've written about that, and I've researched that. And I welcome the listeners to go to my website, directlightproductions.com, and read in my article section about the Bush family. Now, they are not happy that this news has come out, but it has come out, and it's probably what propels these people to push illegal aliens on us. They're granting citizenship to people who do not fit the law, and they're trying to change the law to justify their own actions, which are coming to light. Do you agree with me, either one of you?
Yeah. John, let me go back for just a second to the question that you asked and Earl answered.
Sure.
The question, the statement is, or the law reads, you have to be a natural citizen, which means that you have to be born within the confines of the United States.
Yes.
Not on a military base, which is considered U.S. property. You have to be born on this soil.
Well,
And that's the question. And I've seen things that have said, no, that doesn't matter because he was born on a military base to a military family, to a military father.
Well, we don't even know that that's true, do we?
No, all we have is what we're told.
That's a claim that's being made, and we don't have proof of that. But then again, they don't want to bring forward the proof because it adds credibility to our argument. And this is the way that they operate our election system. They do the deed, and they leave it to us to uncover the dirt.
And the thing is that the way things have happened in this country over the last 50 to 60 years, since the end of World War II, actually, there has been a very concerted effort to water down and negate our country on many levels. This is just the most recent and maybe the most dangerous of all of them.
Well, yes, I have to agree with you there. Now, let's look at the solution side of this. We can spend a lot of time talking about all of this, all of the facts and all of the proof. What would you like to see happen, and what is the group that you're involved with doing? Maybe you want to give us some websites that the listeners can refer to see this information for themselves?
Yes. The website is Vietnam Veterans Against John McCain.
And that's probably got a .com after it, right?
Yes, .com.
Okay. Vietnam Veterans.
And it's all run together.
Yes, Vietnam Veterans Against John McCain.com. Now, I've been to that site, and I have to tell the listeners that there is a substantial amount of documentation to support the claims that Earl and Patty are making. And I've heard others talking about this. Ted Sampley has been very outspoken regarding this, as well as John Holland, who I think you mentioned already.
Yeah.
He's a retired command sergeant major.
Okay.
John Holland.
Yes, he was the one you were referring to.
Yes.
Are they getting an ear of the general public, or are they being treated as, you know, a fringe wackos, as they like to call us?
It all depends on who they talk to. It all depends on who they talk to, Don. Some people, you know, have closed ears. They don't want to hear this about John McCain because they've always considered him a hero. Others are open-minded and they'll listen to you. But it's difficult to get people to listen to this kind of information.
Well, I have the argument, and I pose the question, what is so honorable? In fact, I mentioned this to Patty in a previous conversation. what is so honorable, what is so heroic about killing people, maybe thousands or millions of people, under the color of governmental authority? There's nothing heroic about that.
No, the thing is, you don't consider it heroic to kill the people. But if you have to kill them to protect your country, then that is the heroic part. You're doing it for a purpose.
Yeah. That's a good point you bring up. We were not attacked by Vietnam or Cambodia or Laos, and yet we were there killing their people.
That's right. Because they were invading a friend of ours, which was South Vietnam. And they were going into South Vietnam killing the South Vietnamese. And we had a pledge with the South Vietnamese that we would protect them and help keep the communists out, so communism would not spread further in the area. Now, we have been accused in Vietnam of killing women, killing babies, and all other kind of stuff. Yes, there were women and babies killed, but they were not killed deliberately. We did not walk down the street and see a woman or a baby and deliberately shoot them. Let's compare, for example, the Japanese, when they went in World War II into China. The Japanese went in and they used living Chinese men as bayonet practice. They would tie them to a post, and the Japanese soldiers would come up and jab their bayonets into this guy. They were also, they'd walk down the street and they'd see the baby in a mother's arms. They'd grab that baby out of the mother's arms and throw it up in the air, and another one would catch it on his bayonet. Now that is entirely unhuman at all.
That's murder.
Not that way. There were men and killed.
Yes, I agree with you on that,
but
Earl.
They were killed in the act of war.
Well, what comes to mind is cases like the My Lai massacre. What was that about?
That was where a young lieutenant lost his head, gave a command. Some of his sergeants tried to resist that command. He pulled a pistol on them and says, "Go do what I told you," and they had to do it.
Yes, so there is some of that.
That was a war crime committed by an army lieutenant.
Yes, well, I just want to make that distinction. I'm not discounting what you say. Basically, what you're saying in essence is that the soldiers who were there were following orders, the orders of their government, the orders of their commanders, and we must admit that there were some of these incidents, probably many more than just the My Lai massacre.
Oh, that yes, the World War II, Korea.
Yes.
I'll have to say that there were Germans in World War II that were deliberately shot by American soldiers. Germans being unarmed, taken as a POW.
And it worked the same way on both sides, I think, too, because, you know, we have plenty of those stories coming out in movies as well. You know, that it's the... It's their way of showing us, right under our noses, what they did. And as if to say, you can't do anything about it. You can't stop it. This is how the world is going to be.
That was not the policy of the United States government. It was not the policy of the military. It was the actions of certain individuals.
Yes.
Now, some of those individuals that did that, by the way, were court-martialed and sentenced to prison for doing it.
Well, probably not enough. Now, coming back to our topic, what do you see happening with this movement? I'm sure you are intent on having this truth examined under a microscope.
What I would like
to know
to see,
who they're voting for. They need to know who the man is. And actually, this is a statement for any candidate running for office. You need to know who you're voting for, what their stands are, what they're going to do, where their weaknesses are as well as their strengths. In the case of John McCain, he is subject to blackmail because of his behavior. He had debriefing statements sealed, supposedly for privacy reasons. The primary reason, as far as we're concerned, is because he did not want the information about what he was doing in captivity to come out. So how do you do that? You seal the records. I know that he and Pete Peterson, another returned POW who was the first ambassador to Vietnam, traveled quietly to Vietnam a number of years ago and secured an agreement with the Vietnamese to keep all of their prison camp records sealed. What is so interesting in those records that they would go to that length?
It's going to reveal the truth.
Whoever our next president is facing probably the most dangerous time in U.S. history.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
We have a man who lies just because he can, who has a hair trigger temper that is very, very well documented, who is subject to blackmail, who does not mind lying to get his way, or to bully somebody into his way.
I'm glad you mentioned that because, Patty, I was going to mention to the listening audience that I came across a video of Dolores Allende in front of a Senate hearing committee that she was belittled in front of the Senate investigating the National Alliance of POWs and Missing in Action and their claims that the government wasn't doing anything.
We were there when that happened.
You were there, okay?
We were there, both of us were. Dolores is the sister of a missing man, and she is chairman of the National Alliance of Families, which is a family organization of POW family members from all wars, not just Vietnam.
Yes,
and sliced and diced her to pieces, and she was giving factual, absolute, real, hard copy information to the committee.
Well, it was quite obvious in watching that video, and I have that video also, a link to it posted on my site. You can actually go to my website on my videos page and watch the whole thing unfold. It's obvious that he's hiding someone. He's protecting someone, and mostly his own skin, I would guess, and that she was revealing very incriminating evidence, as you say, very hard evidence.
Don?
Let me.
Don?
Okay, yes, Earl? Go ahead.
Let me interject something here that probably a lot of people do not realize. As a president, you know, you have to have the highest security clearance you can get.
Yes.
To do that, to get that clearance, they have to go through a background investigation by intelligence people, by the police, by everyone. John, if you applied the law for awarding security clearance, John would not qualify. Therefore, he would not have a security clearance which would permit him to be president because of his background and his activities. He would not pass a background investigation to get a security clearance.
Not to mention what we already brought out about where he was born, right?
That's right. This one thing would disqualify him then you add up all these other things, he is not qualified to be president.
And then his pronouncement that this war has to go on for 100 years, and I'm speaking about the Iraq War.
That is John McCain running a... Let me tell you a personal incident, if I can interject it here.
Sure.
I saw McCain, we were in Washington when they were holding hearings, the Syndicalist Committee was holding hearings on the POW from Korea. And I went over to the Senate office building, Hart office building, to see the hearing. And when I walked in, I walked right past John McCain. I said, "Hello, John," and walked on. And he turned around and he says, "I don't like what you said about my wife." I said, turned around and looked him right in the face. We were about 4 or 5 feet apart. I said, "What did I say about your wife? I don't even know your wife. I've never met her. What did I say, John?" "Well, I'm not going to get into it now." "No, tell me. I want to know what I said. You make an accusation, and I want to know about it." "Well, I'm not going to discuss it." I says, "John, you're a liar." And he turned red, red as a beet. And he turned around to walk off, and he didn't say anything. So I emphasized it. I said, "John, you're a goddamn liar." And he turned around and walked into this Senate hearing then, into the committee hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in, and I seated myself where John and I could see each other, right across the aisle. Every time John would start making a statement, I would throw up my hands, or I'd lean over like I was talking to the person next to me or something, and he started getting red again, and I mean he got angry. He lasted about 5 minutes and got up, walked off the dais, and left the hearing.
Yeah, you can see that on the video, so I'll attest to that.
Yeah, he has no control over himself. And I can imagine what he would be like if he was placed in a position whether to drop the nuclear bomb on an enemy within the next 15, 20 minutes.
Well, it's obvious that someone who acts that way in public, within the public trust, mind you, and with the authority to serve the people, that he's serving someone else's agenda when he's that hell-bent on the outcome being what it was. And that video is a perfect example. Listen, folks, this has been very, very revealing and very interesting. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but I would like to invite you back, if you would come back, to the TNT News Hour especially, and
anytime.
I'll try to get you booked on my Evident Footprint show. Can we do that?
Anytime,
we'd love it, John.
Okay, I want to thank you, and thanks for working through all the technical snafus. We did a mini miracle here. And we want to give special thanks to Don Newsom, the network founder and acting engineer right now.
Well, thank him for us, too.
Okay, he's hearing that. So we look forward to your next interview, and thank you so much for sharing this important information with our listening audience. And we'll have you back soon.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Don.
My pleasure.
Have a great day.
Okay, you too. Folks, you've been listening to the TNT News Hour on bbsradio.com. I'm the host, Don Nikoloff, and our special guests today were Patty and Earl Hopper, not necessarily in that order. And we'll have them back on another show to share more of this really groundbreaking information on one of the presidential candidates. Something you don't hear on mainstream news. Be sure to tune in to other programs on bbsradio.com as well. And check out my Evident Footprints tonight at 10 p.m. Pacific time. You don't want to miss that show. It's going to be about 9/11. Have a good day.